16. It's on page 260 in the Pew Bibles. So Judges chapter 16, we begin at verse 15. This is a passage where Delilah is talking to Samson. Then she said to him, "How can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? This is the third time you have made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength." With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was tired to death. So he told her everything. "No razor has ever been used on my head," he said, "because I have been a Nazarite, set apart to God since birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man." When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, "Come back at once, he's told me everything." So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hands. Having put him to sleep on her lap, she called a man to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Then she called, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He woke from his sleep and thought, "I'll go out as before and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they set him to grinding in the prison. But the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved.
Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, "Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands." When the people saw him, they praised their god, saying, "Our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste our land and multiplied our slain." While they were in high spirits, they shouted, "Bring out Samson to entertain us." So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, "Put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple, so that I may lean against them." Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there, and on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, "O sovereign Lord, remember me. O God, please strengthen me just once more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my 2 eyes." Then Samson reached towards the 2 central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than while he lived. Then his brothers and his father's whole family went down to get him. They brought him back and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of Manoah, his father. He had led Israel 20 years. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning again, everyone. Thank you, Steve and Rod, for those readings. We're continuing our series of Men and Women of Faith, and just in case you haven't realised, we're going to be looking at Samson this morning. But before I begin, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your gift of Scripture, for the treasures it contains, and we pray that you'll help us to unearth a little of that treasure this morning and learn a bit more about you and your sovereign plans for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Could I have the first slide up, please, Peter? I don't know what it is when what it is that you see when you look at this picture. It's kind of an optical illusion. When I first pulled it up, all I could see was an old lady. But now I can see the face of a younger lady, and I can't for the life of me work out where the old lady has gone. She was there. Can anyone see the old lady? Yeah. Can anyone see the young lady? Okay, good. So it does work. Thank you, Peter. The reason I put that up is Samson is a bit like that optical illusion. Depending on how you look at him, you see two different things. Samson's one of the great heroes of faith. And he points us very clearly towards Jesus. In chapter 13, when Samson's story begins, we read that his birth was announced by angels, just as Jesus's was. We're told that his mother couldn't have children, so his was a miraculous birth, just like Jesus's was. And the angel told his mother that her son was going to save God's people. And that's what the angel told Mary as well. The angel said that Samson was going to serve God all of his life. The angel told Mary exactly the same thing. Samson was betrayed. We heard that in the reading that Steve gave us. Samson was betrayed by Delilah. Jesus was betrayed by his friend Judas. We heard that God left Samson, and God left Jesus when he was on the cross. Both were mocked, both were beaten, and both accomplished God's purposes of rescuing God's people. So Samson points us very clearly towards Jesus. But if you carry on with Samson's story and then go a bit beyond it, if you read the last few chapters of the book of Judges, you'll see that Samson didn't really rescue God's people after all. God's people carried on sinning. In fact, their sins became worse and worse. They fell into idol worshipping. There was mutilation of bodies. Civil war amongst the different tribes of Israel. It ended up in mob rule. And the book of Judges ends with these dreadful words: "In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit." In other words, God's people abandoned God. They no longer lived according to the commandments that he had given them. Samson's rescue of God's people, it just didn't work. It didn't last. And if we look at Samson himself, we see that he really wasn't a very good or very nice man. The Spirit of the Lord was on him for sure. Whenever he carried out his great acts, we're told the Spirit of the Lord worked through Samson. But the rest of the time, he really wasn't very nice. He was disrespectful towards his parents. He slept with whoever caught his eye. He was a brute. He was a bully. And although he was physically strong, he was weak when it came to his domestic life. We heard a bit of it in Steve's reading. He gave in to his nagging wives and then threw them aside when it had enough of them. He was a flawed hero. And as we get to Judges 16, the passage that Steve and Rod read to us, we hear that Samson fell in love with Delilah. He was besotted with her, even though she made it clear all she really wanted from him was a secret of his strength so she could betray him. Samson was such a menace to the Philistine rulers that the five rulers of the Philistine nation had each promised Delilah 1,100 shekels of silver if she was to betray him. If my calculations are correct, Delilah was going to be paid about £2 million to betray Samson. That's how much of a menace he was to the Philistine nation. So what are we to make of Samson? On the one hand, he points very clearly towards Jesus. And on the other, he's just a sex-mad thug who didn't accomplish the rescue of God's people. So how can we learn anything from the story of this flawed hero? To help us answer that question, I want us to try and think beyond that first optical illusion that I showed you. Peter, could we have the next slide, please? So I don't know what you make of this. I'm not sure this is going to work, so bear with me. So at first glance, you might not think that's an optical illusion. But there's something hidden in plain sight there And what you need to do is shake your head. If you shake your head perhaps a little vigorously, something will appear. Can you see it? What can you see? A cat. Okay. So there's something hidden in plain sight in this optical illusion, and there's something hidden in plain sight in the story of Samson. Oh, I think Matilda's still trying to find the cat. Let's just give her a moment or two. Did you see it, Matilda? No? Perhaps we'll put the picture up a bit later again so you can have another go. So Samson's a bit like that optical illusion. If we shape the story of Samson, some things fall out. You see, what Samson, the story of Samson was written as a mirror so that God's people could see themselves in that story of Samson. That's what I'm trying to get at. So if you remember, we're told that Samson was a Nazarite. That means he was set apart for God. And in this mirror, if we remember, we're looking at it, at this story now from the perspective of God's people, Israel. Samson was set apart for God. And if you remember, God's people were also all set apart for God. And you know, God gave Abraham a sign of that. All boys were to be circumcised at 8 days old as a sign that they were set apart for God. Samson forgot that, and so did Israel. Samson's behaviour went off the rails, so did Israel's. What Israel should have been doing is looking at the story of Samson and seeing where Samson went wrong, and they should have learned from that. But they didn't. Samson wanted to be just like any other man. He wanted to marry the girls that he chose. He chose Delilah, even though he knew that she was bad for him. She kept asking him the secret of his strength. Samson got it wrong. And Israel too, as God's chosen people, they wanted to be just like any other nation. They wanted to have their own king like all the other nations did. They wanted to worship things rather than the living God who made the things that they chose to worship. They chased after the wrong things. So Israel and Samson were both set apart for God, but they both made the same mistakes. Samson's story, therefore, should be a warning to us as well, because we are now God's chosen people. We are to behave as a people set apart for the Lord. Other people should see God reflected in us. All the way through the story of Samson in Judges chapters 14, 15 and 16, including the passages that we had read to us, we see that Samson compromised himself. He fell away from God. He fell in love with the wrong woman, Delilah, a Philistine, who, as we've seen, was more interested in her own power and money than she was in her relationship with Samson. But Samson was blinded by love. And forgetting he was set apart for God, he became one with the Philistines. He told them all his secrets. He blended in. He wanted to be just like them. And yet, he was God's chosen instrument. When Samson carried out his great feats of strength, if you go back to chapter 14, you'll see he was attacked by a lion, which he killed with his bare hands. He then attacked 30 men all on his own. In chapter 15, he killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He was God's chosen instrument. And yet, his physical strength was tied to his spiritual strength. Actually, that's not quite right, is it? We should perhaps say his physical strength was dependent upon the strength of the Lord. Because the reason I say that is all of Samson's other behaviour suggested he wasn't spiritually strong. He didn't bear any fruits of the Spirit, did he? We don't read that lots of people came to salvation because of what Samson did. He was weak in so many ways. And yet, when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he had great physical strength and he did defeat God's enemies. He was given gifts by God but used them selfishly. And that too
is just how God's people, Israel, behaved. In our reading, we heard how Samson tells Delilah that the secret of his strength is tied up with his hair. So that when his hair was cut, because it had never been cut in all his life, his strength would go. So Delilah shaved his head, and we're told the Lord left him. Now, of course, his strength wasn't really in his hair, but in the Lord. So when Samson abandoned his service to the Lord by giving in to Delilah, the Lord let him go. Samson chose to live for the world, and that was exactly what the Lord let him do. Live in his own strength rather than live in the Lord's strength. And as Christians, God's chosen people today, we need to learn from his example. We too are set apart for God. The Apostle Peter described it like this in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. He said, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light." So Christians should not compromise with the world. We are to be distinctively Christian. If we try to blend in with the world so that other people don't know that we're a Christian, we're behaving in exactly the way Samson did, and we're behaving in exactly the same way that Israel did. If we try to be one with the world, as Israel chose to be one with the Philistines, we too will be in danger of losing the Lord's blessing. In our Christingle service last Sunday, Pippa reminded us of Jesus' words from the Sermon on the Mount, and they really struck me as I was preparing for this service. We had these words from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. It said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if a salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men." And that's a stark warning for each of us, isn't it? As Christians, we should strive to always be salty. Perhaps especially now, when we're in a vacancy and we don't have a minister to guide us. We need to hold fast to our Christian values and continue to be a church that boldly proclaims Christ as our Saviour. A church that holds together in love and unity. A church that's always looking to serve others, to bear fruit for our God. Let's not be like Samson or the Israelites and compromise with the world, but continue to be proudly set apart for Christ. But back to the story from Judges 16, we see that it doesn't end in despair, although it is a pretty grim story, isn't it? Samson's bound. He had his eyes gouged out. He's imprisoned. He's put to work. And as his story draws to a close, we're told he was brought out to perform at the feast to the Philistine god Dagon. It's almost as though the Philistines were trying to show that their god Dagon was greater than the God of Israel. They get Samson to perform for them. But Samson prays to the Lord. It's only the second time in Samson's story we hear that he prays. But he prays to the Lord. And what does he pray for? He prays for vengeance. He prays for revenge for his gouged out eyes. So Samson's prayers aren't what I would recommend to anyone as a model for their prayer life. But consider this. Samson was a flawed hero, a selfish, vain, sinful man. And his prayers reflected all of those traits. And yet, God answered Samson's prayer. This tells us more about God than it does about Samson. God takes our prayers, weak and foolish though they might seem, and in his grace, he answers them. Perhaps they won't be answered in the way that we expect or in the time that we hope for, but they will be answered. God is gracious and he does answer the prayers of his people, even the bad prayers of bad people. if their gods bad people, like Samson was. So God grants Samson's prayer for strength one more time, and he pulls down the temple, killing 3,000 Philistines, including their leaders. And for a while, God's people were freed from the oppression of the Philistines. Now, there are two reasons we shouldn't be surprised about God answering Samson's prayer. Firstly, if you were to turn back to Judges chapter 13 and verse 7, when the angel appears to Samson's mother, you'll hear the angel speaking to his parents saying this, that Samson is to be a Nazarite, that's, you know, someone who was set apart for God, and he's to be a Nazarite from birth until the day of his death. He's set apart for God until the day of his death. So although Samson did not always live according to the Nazarite way, and although God let him fall into the hands of the Philistines, God had not truly abandoned him, because Samson was set apart for God. And the second reason is perhaps more relevant for us today. Samson prayed to the same God that we worship today, the God of covenant promise. God will always respond to his people when they cry out to him in need, because that's what he promised he would do. Samson messed up, and I guess each one of us has messed up in the past and will continue to do so in the future. But our God is a God of covenant love. Our God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He's a God of abounding love and forgiveness. So whenever we turn to our God in repentance and in faith, he will answer, just like he answered Samson. The Lord is our covenant God, who calls us to be salt and light for him. We are his chosen people, a royal priesthood, his treasured possession. And given that, how could he not answer us when we turn to him, or return to him in faith? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the story of Samson that encourages us that even if we do lose our faith and turn away from you, if we come back to you, you will respond with abounding love and grace, and you will fill us again with your Spirit. And Lord, we thank you also that the story of Samson shows us that if we compromise with the world, we're in danger of falling away. So help us to learn too from that. Help us to hold true to your word, to be salt and light for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.